Today's daf in Masechet Gittin, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Yud Tes, and we're holding right at the Halakha Mishnah, near the top of the daf. So now, we've finally gotten over the inyanim of the Shluchim and the Edim. Now let's get on to actually how it is that one writes a get. Bakol Kotvin, you can write with anything you want. It's not a Sefer Torah. As long as whatever you write with is something that is going to last. So you can use D.O. Now, D.O. is never really defined, which is something of a problem. You know, so Rashi learns all over. Rashi talks about D.O. being what you make out of gallnuts that are processed in the water and boiled and so on. And Tosis very specifically says that's precisely what D.O. isn't. Okay. So he talks about the way that we make D.O. and that it's able to be hardened and it's mixed with all types of burnt substances and the gum arabic and things like that. We put it all together. So again, there's no particular Gemara that defines for us precisely how to make D.O., but the idea is whatever would be the most common solid black material that sits there and is actually not easily going to disappear. You can use some. So in general, well, Gemara is going to talk about each one of these things. In general, these have sort of loose definitions, but the Gemara will talk about each one separately. So let's leave them till we get there. Sikra, we've met that word before when we're talking about the Chutzal Sikra. Again, we'll see in the Gemara. Kumos, Kankantom, and Kodavar Shel Kayom. Bottom line is, anything that's going to last is something that you can write with. Right? If you intend to give your wife a get on, let's say, her anniversary cake as the writing on the, that's not considered to be a Ktav Shel Kayama. So it's a nice idea, but don't try it. Now you cannot use Lo B'Mashkin, Lo B'Mei Peirot, anything that's not going to be long-lasting is no good. Now, as far as what you write on, again, we're not talking about a Sefer Torah. We're just writing, talking about something that you're going to be able to give her. And remember, we've got this problem about v'katav v'natan. Nothing can come between the katav v'natan. And therefore, what you wrote has to be given directly. If you have to do something else, like dig it up before you give it to her, cut it off before you give it to her, that's not called v'katav v'natan. So, if you want to write something on a leaf, that leaf has got to be detached. So, okay, you've got a leaf in your hand, you can write it on a leaf. Now, even though that kind of leaf may be used as food by an animal, apparently that doesn't make any difference. We're going to see this machlokas about that. Well, you could write it on the keren of a para, as long as you give her the whole para. So write it on the horn and then give her the cow. Or you can write it on the hand of an evet, and then you'd have to give her the evet. Rabbi Yosef Glili Omer, you cannot write on anything that has that is living. So Dover Sheyesh Bo Ruach Hayim, and you cannot use food. And therefore, in this case, the cow is not usable, the evet is not usable, the leaf is considered to be edible by animals. That's not usable. So we'll get to this Gemara later on. Okay, says the Gemara, which one are all of these things? So again, D.O. is D.U.T.A., all types of, as we said, machlokas over here, Rishonim specifically about the question of the afatzim. The afatzim are the gallnuts that are very often, as we've seen, are used also for processing the klafim in those days. Today we use seed, and we have some of the Rishonim talking about the use of seed in their time as well. We had Gemaras talking about the difference between that type of processing. But the seed is very white, and the afatzim, if you've seen old Sifrei Torah, many of them are like a very darkened kind of parchment that has been processed with mei afatzim and not with seed. But this is talking about making ink out of the afatzim. That is apparently the big machlokas over here. According to Tosfos, Rabbi Natan, that's not called really D.O. Sam is actually a particular type of coloration that refers to Sama, which The most that Rishonim learn is urpiment, which is a chemical of a type of arsenic. Sikra, Omarabba Barbachana, that's the sikarta, you know, that's what everybody uses nowadays as the red dye that we put on our mice or animals and so on. Kumus refers to kuma, which is the resins that are used. They call it gum arabic when they mix it into an ink. Kankantom is cupric sulfate. And Omer Rabba Barbachana, Omer Shmuel, that is what's called charta de ushkafe. They use that for making the black on the shoes. Leather is not that black. Charta de ushkafe is processed with this. Behold of Arshu mitkayem. What does that mean? To include what? That includes Latuya even Adatani Rebbe Chanina, Ktavo Bemeitari of Afatza. That would all be kosher. So let's say you just had some colored water that had run off of your roof and it was full of so much dirt that it left a stain on whatever you were writing. That's also good enough. And so is the Afatza, which is not real ink made out of gallnuts, but it's just mixing a gallnut into water, letting it soak. Even that's good enough. Tani Rebbe Chia, Kitavo Ba'avar, B'shchor, B'shichor, Kasher. If you wrote it with lead, we're going to see later on, this doesn't mean with a lead pencil. It means that you actually had, you had scrapings of lead, mixed it with water, boiled it up. Or with, now here, the Shechor is supposed to be what they use for making shoes, which is why Tosfos says you can't say that those two things, or piment, is the same thing that we're talking about over here, like Rashi says. And all of these issues are nonetheless staining things, whatever they are, and that's good enough. Kosher, your shoe polish would be kosher. Itmar. Hamavir diyoga b'sikra b'shabbat. Now, the question is like this, very fascinating. We talked about two different types of inks over here, so-called inks. One of them is sikra, that's red dye, and the other one is diyo. Now, the diyo is this real dark black ink that you see in the Sefer Torah, and sikra is just sort of like a red pigmentation. So suppose you had a document that's written with this red, and then you go over with real diyo, and you do that on Shabbos. So in other words, there was already a ktav here from before, and now you're going to redo the ktav, you're going to make it black. So Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish say, in this case, and they both agree for a change, that you're going to be chayev twice, because what you've done is you've erased the red ink by putting the black ink over it, and that is considered to be mochek amanat lichtov. Remember, that's the only time you're chayef for mechika. So you needed to do that, because otherwise you would have had this ugly kind of reddish black ink, which is not what you want. So you bedavka want to cover over the red in order to make this a more easily read document, and therefore you used yod. So you'd be chayef once for the erasure and once for the writing. How about if you put black ink over black ink, or red ink over red ink? That's very interesting, because why would you do this? It's fascinating that later on we're going to see that if someone made a mistake and didn't write the get lishma. So according to some shitas, we're going to see later, that you can actually write over the same letters with the same ink and do it lishma this time. Right now, over here, the Gemara clearly does not consider that to be writing. It says over your potter. And on Shabbos, you wouldn't have been doing anything, basically, by doing that. It's not considered to be ktav, and it's not considered to be mochek. So how does the Gemara say later? It's a very beautiful tesis. We'll talk about it when we get to it. We'll talk about it tomorrow. The question of, is the concept of writing binogea lishma related in any way to the concept of writing on Shabbos? Because remember, on Shabbos, the concept of the writing is purely in terms of the physical, technical achievement of the writing. Now, the Lishma has absolutely nothing to do with that. It's sort of magic, right? So it's this metaphysical connection to the act of the writing. Now, the question is, does the act of the writing, Benogea Lishma, does it need to be defined in the same technical way that we would define the act of writing for Shabbat? So Tosfos, Tainus, that maybe these are two totally different areas. And that for a ketiva lishma, we don't need a noticeable ketiva. We need that the movement of your hand with the guidance of your mind should have been done over those letters. Maybe that's enough. And it's not a contradiction to the shita here of Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. So anyway, it's a fascinating sugya to think about. So, what about Dio Agabi? Dio Sikra Agabi. Sikra, again, that's what we're talking about here, would be potter. How about putting Sikra over Dio? Now, that actually is a kilkul, because it was nicer when it was nice black ink. Now you've got this sort of shimmery red shine over the black ink, which is not an advantage for reading. So, Amri Lachayev, some say that you would be Chayev, and some say that you're potter. Now, you're certainly not doing a new ktiva here, so you're not chayef for ktiva. But is that considered to be wrecking the original dio? Because when you put the red ink, whatever we want to call it, sikra, you put the red sikra over the dio, so then you partially erased the dio, you made it less present. And because of that, some say that you would be chayef because of mochek. You're certainly not writing anything new, so you're not going to be chayef for kotev. But some say, no, you're potter, because basically that's not mechika almanat lichtov. You're wrecking it. That's mekalkel. Your question over here seems to be whether mekalkel is a ptur because the melacha is being done in the wrong way, and therefore we cannot call a mekalkel a melachas machsheves. Now, if that's the issue, then a reduction in the value of something is sufficient to call it a mekalkel agabe Shabbos, because in the end, it is not a creative act. So it's a decreative act, so to speak, right? So because of that, you would be potter. But others learned that the concept of mekalkel is that it's actually ruining something, meaning totally. And over here, you didn't ruin it, you changed it. And therefore, even though it may not be advantageous, that's not enough to call it kilkul agabi meleches Shabbos. It's not clear what the machlokas here of those who say that you would be chayev, even though it certainly appears to be a mekalkel. So now, this, of course, why did we bring this up? It's obviously why we brought it up. What about for a get? So we had this question before. What do you do for witnesses that don't know how to write? So we got some illiterate witnesses. And the problem is that we're talking about a get. And since we're talking about a get, there may be an emergency here. This guy may be leaving, or, you know, maybe dying, or he's trying to escape, and we finally got hold of the bum who refuses to give his wife a get for God knows how long, and we finally got him, you know, we're beating him up, and the only Adam that we can find are illiterate Adam. They don't know how to sign their names. Now, if we let them go for a minute until we find good Adam, we may never have this grand opportunity again. So in this case, we're going to see, we actually saw this before, but we're going to get into more of the details, that Chazal made a special halacha that we will allow illiterate Adim to sign their names by using, as we saw before, a stencil or some other way of showing them what the letters ought to look like, and then they can copy what the letters are to look like. So now the obvious question is, supposing the letters were actually written by this lower quality marking, and could you then write over those letters with ink? So now this would be Nogea, exactly the Shaila that we just spoke about, Legabi Shabbos, right? So you had Sikarta, and then you put the ink over the Sikarta, and we said over there that Rabbi Yochanan said, you know, you would be Chayef for that on Shabbos, both for Mochek and for Kotev. So could we rely on that also for the Get? Because it's a new Ktiva, and then the Eidim would be writing their own Ktiva. So by Minei Shlakshim Rabbi Yochanan. Edim she'enam yodim lachton. Ma'u shichtvu lahem besikra. Can we make the image of the letter with this die and then have them write using that as the basis of the letter? V'yachtom. Do we consider the ktav that's on top of the sikra to be a new ktav, in which case it is their signature, and it would be a ktav, and it would be a chatima, or a no ktav? So Rabbi Yochanan said to Reish Lakish, no, you cannot use that for a get. So Reish Lakish asked the obvious question, but Rebbe, you know, didn't you say, I mean, we just learned this, that when it comes to Shabbos, the Ktav Elyon would actually be a Ktav for Shabbos, and you would be Chayev a Korban, right? So why isn't it a Ktav for the get? Omar Lo, this is a wonderful, wonderful klal to keep in mind at all times. This mimer of Rabbi Yochanan, and our dear Gavi is probably going to make a note of it because it's so special. And it goes like this. Because we have a good imagination and we think that that's the halacha. Should we actually rely on it? Mela, I told you, Lagabe Shabbos, there's no Beis HaMikdash. So you're not going to actually go out there and bring a Korban Chatas, which might be Chulun Bazor, if you rely on my opinion. So, okay, I figure when you get around to bringing your Korban Chatas for that, you'll first ask Moshe Rabbeinu, you know. You'll find out whether I know what I'm talking about. So just because it's cheap for me to say that's Chilul Shabbos, you know, I'm not going to actually take my same imagination and turn it into a psak halacha that you can go ahead and write a get with it. Now, this is an amazing klal, which all too many people forget. All the things that we know, how much do we really know them? Okay, so now, if you want to apply them halacha l'maaseh, there's a big difference between that and the theoretical discussions of what it appears to be, and so on. So, great thing to remember. Mipnei she'anu medamim na'aseh ma'aseh. So beautiful. Itmar. Edim she'inam yodim lachtom. So Rav says, we had this before, mikar'im lahem niyar chalak, you make an indentation in the paper, and then they can actually follow the lines. So, you know, this is the last time I made a beautiful Picasso painting. Of course, I was filling in the numbers, but is this considered to be an actual kitab? So again, you remember that we had the discussion in the Yerushalmi. We had this whole sugya before. We had the discussion in the Yerushalmi that it doesn't mean like Rashi learns that we make an indentation and they just go along the indentation. It means we make a stencil and then they fill in the inside of the stencil, but they don't just like sort of, you know, put ink in the stencil. They actually write within the stencil. So it just gives them a contour that they're then able to put their own John Hancock on it. So it does have a unique, specific way which they hold the pen and how they'll move it. It just allows them to know the Tzurat Ha'ot that they're supposed to be writing. It'll still be very clear they're writing. And some tiny that, according to Rashi, this doesn't seem to be right. But the truth is, all of the Pshatim could be the same thing in that they are providing a basic picture. And then what it is that the Edom are going to do is going to go, you know, it'd be their own picture that's built around it and so on. It isn't literally that they're going to fill it in or something, because it's difficult to see how that would be a kitab. So, for instance, suppose we wanted to get a smile on a Rebbe, right? So we could draw something that looks like a smile, and then we could say, okay, you imitate that. Now, would that be his smile, or would that be my smile? Now, as you can see, we didn't get a smile. So obviously, if there really would be a smile, gradually, so then that would be his own smile. There you go. So that's basically the issue that we have here. So, Shmuel says, no, you can actually write with lead. Now, it's going to turn out what he means is you write with a piece of lead that makes like a little mark on the paper. It doesn't mean lead ink. So the Gemara obviously asked the kasha. We said before you can make ink out of lead by mixing lead filings in with water. So how could you say that that's okay? Bavar salkadaitach? V'otani rebichia ketafo bavar bishchor u'bishichor. In all of those cases, it would be kosher. So then that means we've already got ketav there. So how could it be good if the Edim already are putting their names on the ketav that was already there? No. He wasn't referring to watery, boiled lead. He was talking about like a piece of lead that you use, not to be mixed up with our lead pencil idea, which is really the graphene that is, it comes off, little pieces come off. Here we're talking about water mixed with lead That is an ink. So Habamaya, the Avara, that would be considered to be real ink. That's not what Shmuel was talking about. Rabbi Abo says, well, why can't you use the May Milin, which is basically the gallnut juice? You put these afatzim into water, and, you know, so it makes a little mark, and then they actually write on it. What? But Rabbi Hanina said that May Taryan Afatza, which are Afatzim, that's the gallnuts, that would be considered to be a kosher get, which would mean that is real writing. So we have the same problem. Then the Edim are just putting their signature on top of actual writing that was there. Lokasha again. It depends. How was the parchment that you're writing on processed? If the parchment was processed with Afatzim, then obviously the color of the parchment is going to mean that if you write with Mei Afatzim, as soon as the water dries, it's going to look like the rest. You're not going to be able to make out a ktav. That's not called ktav. That's what he's saying. And Ein Mei Milin, Agabe Mei Milin, if you're talking about a seed or you're talking about an unprocessed a piece of paper, whatever, that, of course, I would be able to see Mei Milin on. Rav Papa says you can simply use saliva, Baruch. Stick your finger in your mouth, make a little picture of the oat, and then have the aide make a signature. So that's what Rav Papa said to Papa Torah. Papa Torah was a guy who used to, Rashi says he was a seller or auctioner of cows and cattle. So I don't know how Rav Papa in the beer business got together with Papa Torah. But anyway, he told him that that's the best way to do it. If you don't have anybody, he gave him an actual, they were in a tight spot, and he told him he could use just saliva. Because remember, the whole idea over here is emergencies, as we said before. Hani Mila Begitin, this entire discussion is only allowed for illiterate witnesses in a case of Gittin. Because Gittin could be a disaster if you don't have Aiden. If we're going to have to start running around now and looking for May Milin or for lead, just stick your finger in your mouth. That's the point. So Bishtarot Lo, you cannot use it for any other type of star. And in fact, it was a guy who once did a normal star that way. He had the Aiden signed that way. And Nagde Rivkana, he actually beat him up for doing that because it was a tremendous pirtza in utilizing the wrong kind of edim. You need to have edim that are actually literate. Tani kavasid rav, that edim she'en yodim lachtom, mikarim lehem niyarchalak, umemalim et hakaraim dio. By the way, that doesn't mean that we only paskin like rav. I just said one of these methods has also some further backing. It's not that there's a machlokas here. People are giving different kind of aces for how it is that it should be done. Om Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, this whole idea, again, Bamedvar Mamurim, is Davka Begite Nashim, Ava B'Shechruri Avodim, V'Shar Kol Ashtarot. Only a witness that is literate is usable. If they know how to read and write, then they can sign. If they don't know how to read and write, they can't sign. Read. Wait a minute over here. Yeah, we never talked about reading. We talked about writing. Now, how did reading get into this discussion, Bichlal? Of course, you'll remember all of this from before. Okay, so I'm going through it quickly. So, Kriya, Mandachar Shema, whoever talked about reading? Chisurei Mechasra. Obviously, a little piece here needs to be inserted. And what it should say is, Edim she'ein yodim likrot. We didn't talk about that piece yet. So now they're supposed to be signing a contract that they don't know how to read. How can they sign the contract if they don't know what the contract says? You know? So Korim Lefnehem, we can read them the contract, and they can sign on it based on what we read. So, okay. If that's the case, we have to ask ourselves, I mean, what exactly are they being made on? You know, they're being made that somebody told them something. I thought you have to see the event yourself. So I mean, if the Edim are on the shtar, on the get, and they said what they saw the divorce, but they're signing on the document, that's fine. right? Because what they're being made to is the divorce. And therefore, they're signing here. So the fact that I know what it says, that this is the record of the divorce, I mean, obviously, we're going to see in the Gemara in a minute, that you need to have strong grounds for trusting the reader. And there's got to be an absolutely guaranteed way that I can rely on them, including the fact that we have two people, that they themselves should be like Aiden. But in any event, they would be able, in the case of a get, to be korin lefneim v'chotmim, but if they don't know how to sign, then et cetera, et cetera. Then we do all of those tricks. And it was on that statement that mentioned both reading and writing that Reb Shimon ben Gamliel said, b'med dvarim amurim, b'gitei nashim. But if you're talking about shichurei avadim, where there's no emergency, or shar kal hashtarot, im yodim lekrot v'lachtop chotmim, v'im lav ein chotmim. Omar Rabbi Elazar. Why is it that Reb Shimon ben Gamliel said that when it comes to Gittin, we could be so makel and allow people who cannot read or cannot write, allow them to sign? Why is that? Shlo yu benot Yisrael argunot? Because we may end up with a tough situation in which a woman may never be able to get her get if this doesn't work. And she may fall to Yibum if the guy is dying. We can't get the get done in time and so on. So therefore, we paskin that it would be okay. Omar Rava, that's actually the halacha. And that halacha of Shimon Gamliel, this is usable only under these kind of special circumstances. Rav Gamda Mishmei de Rava Omar, we don't paskin like Rabbi Shimon. What do you mean we don't paskin like Rabbi Shimon? That you can go ahead, ve'ela kaman. Rabbona, we can go ahead and sign any shtar like this. Or how do you explain the fact that with the avadu of the bishar shtar of an agdei Rav Kahana? Didn't we say before that Rav Kahana took sort of drastic action against somebody who utilized this methodology for getting a normal shtar signed? So how come all of a sudden we're allowing this, if you're saying this is how we paskin? I think we should basically let Barry, Dr. Barry, know that even when he goes offline because it's too late, at least his cat sticks with Yitzi, so we have some element of Dr. Barry still here. Thank you for that special service, Yitz. Somebody better tell him, though. We don't want him to get splinched in the event that he goes offline in the middle. So how do you explain the fact that Rav Kahana was ready to beat up somebody who utilized this type of trick for a shtar that was not a get? No. What Rav Gamda was talking about, the question of the reading, not the question of writing. There's two different questions over here. So what we were talking about, what Rav Gamda said over here, that was Ein Halachik Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, that was Lagabi the Kula. Rav Gamda said that you do, it's true, for any other get, you do need to be able to sign, but you don't need to be able to read, because if you have a way of somebody relying on someone to read it to you, you would be able to sign on the basis of that. And here's some actual cases. Rabbi Yehuda was old at this point, didn't have good eyesight, and he nonetheless used to struggle to be able to read through a contract that he was supposed to sign. It was very difficult. Yeah, as you can imagine, him squinting and holding the shtar back and forth as you're trying to get it in focus. And he would work at it until he could read it properly before he signed it. So Ula said to him, why should you be so matriach? You can have someone read it to you, because I can tell you, Rebbe Lazar is the more there at Yisrael, and everybody's semech on his halacha, and he had it read, he was semich on it, he wasn't matriach to read it, and then he would sign it. Korukam evachatim. Reb Nachman, who was considered to be the prime dayanim, he also allowed that. Korukam e safre dayanim. He also would sign something if the sofre had dayanim would read it to him. So you don't have to go through this tsar. But the truth is, we're talking about a single person reading. It's Davka Reb Nachman. Then suffered the Dayanim. because Yisro Emos, I mean, they were scared out of their wits. I mean, Reb Nachman would find out that they had made even a slight mistake in the reading. Forget the fact that they fooled him. Oh, my God, that would be the end. Reb Nachman was extremely powerful, and he was Chatana de Venecia and so on. Very powerful man. Not somebody that you want to cross. And so because of that, you can rely on that. And, I mean, the same thing would be true with the Sefer Dayani. That's their job, which is online. But, I mean, you can't just rely on anybody else. Let's say Sefer Dayane for somebody else. No, no. Even Sefer Dayane not. You would actually need two Edim that would be reliable. Rav Papa Kaviyasil Kamishtara Parsoa. Now, suppose the contract itself, again, we had this before, the contract was written in, actually, in Persian. And it came out of a Goyish Bezdin. So David Bar Kochel Kutim, this has been literally Kutim. Makrilush Lishne Kutim. So he would have two different Goyim who understood Persian read it to him. Zeshelo Bifneza. First of all, they weren't together. So one couldn't hear what the other one said. And he had it doing, had them doing it. Mesiach Lefi Tumo. Meaning that he would show them parts. They had no idea of what the implications were, what they were reading. They didn't see the whole contract. He just asked them to translate particular words. And if they came up with the same translation, so then he would rely on it to the extent to which he would even be Magbi Bemi Mishabde. Since this was a legal contract, as we said before, if it came out in a court, in an official court, it would be reliable. So because of that, he relied on the translation, and then he would actually use the shtar to be gofer because it creates the same kol and provides the same guarantees for a buyer as the title insurance of normal shtaritz. Omer Rav Ashi, another maiso that's nogea this Persian stuff, formerly Ravuna Barnasan, Hachi Omer Amema. Again, we had this entire sugya before, too. So, Hai Shtar, this is sort of a daf about Ktav al Gabi Ktav, or daf al Gabi daf. So you should remember all this. It's a nice chazor. Hai Shtar aparsos. So if you have a document written in Persian, which you have Edim, that are Jewish Edim, signed on it, it's fine. Magabinam b'mi mishabde, you can use it like any other shtar. And there's no problem in your understanding it. I understand. How could there be no problem? I mean, they don't know how to read Persian. So how could they sign on it? No, they did know. Oh, well, but still, how can you read it? I mean, these Persians, they're not careful to have non-erasable paper. And that's one of the dinim of a shtar. A shtar has to be written on a type of paper that is processed in a way that if somebody tries to make an erasure, the erasure is going to show up. These Persians, they don't do that. So then how do you know you're not looking at a completely forged document that somebody signed and filled in that Yitzi owes Ariel $2 million or something? And then we have this signing on it. That'll teach you to smile in the middle of a serious issue like this, and you'll find yourselves in court. Be careful. So if that would be done, how can you use a contract like this? That's not Ketav Sheni Yechol Yizdayef. No. In this particular case, the contract was Afitzan. Well, obviously, I mean, you understand. I'm talking about a good contract. Okay, but what about the fact that you need to have the Inyana Shastar B'Shitach Rona, you know, and ending with that whole V'Hakol Sharir Barir V'Kayam, you know, and we use the Mon of the Kashal Miknayabe. I mean, they don't do that, and we put that in order to not allow people to add in little pieces at the end, which would then end up making someone chayav a lot of money, which wasn't part of the original Shtar. So how is that? We did. B'nei Mahadr. So then what is this? So what are you telling me? You're telling me that if you use a perfectly good contract, and it's Afitz, and it's also Mahadir, the last line in the one that was before, then it's all exactly what needs to be done for a contract, and the Edim signed on it, and they know how to read Persian, that's good. Thank you very much. So then, my kamashmalan. What are you coming to tell me? That Persian is kosher for a contract? I need you to tell me that? The kol lashon kasher? I mean, it's a beferish mishnah that says later that a get that was written in Hebrew and signed in Greek, or it's written in Greek and it's signed in Hebrew. It's perfectly okay. So then if that's the case, it's why wouldn't it be kosher for shtarot in general? What's the chiddush of a mamer at all if everything was done properly? No, because remember, we have special dinim when it comes to a get. Remember we said that since gitim can be an emergency and can be a last chance opportunity to get a woman out of a marriage, we allow all kinds of special kulas. We might have thought that the Mishnah was referring dafka hanavimina hanimili begitin, that this is another one of those special kulas to allow women to have a get and not fall to yibum and so on. So because of that, he needed to tell us, no, this is actually true about any shtar. The language of the shtar is irrelevant as long as the Edim know what is it they signed on. Omar Shmuel, now let me ask something. The guy gives a wife a blank piece of paper and he says, here is your get. What do you think the din is? I'm saying she's Megureshet. That is, which sounds like he really knows for sure that she's Megureshet, which is a little bit difficult. And that we believe the husband to say that this was actually written with disappearing writing or something, right? It was a WhatsApp get. I mean, is that what he's saying? Because he says, listen, Chayshinan. Remember Chayshinan, we've had many times already, that it means we are suspecting and therefore relying on Shema b'mei milin kitavot. And maybe he wrote it with mei milin, and then the mei milin dried, they got absorbed, and then now we don't see it, but we're able to actually get it out, the writing, as we're going to see. Meitve. Problem is that it says, in a case where a guy gives a woman a get, he says, here's your get. She's furious. She takes the get and she throws it into the ocean. Or she throws it into a fire. That's a reaction to a get. Or forever, whatever. It's some way that we'll never be able to look at this get. We have no idea what it was. He said it was a get. And he says, ha ha, it wasn't really a get. Ha ha. It was a shtar parsim. Or a shtar amana, you know, a shtar pasim means it's a completely useless, it's a fake. It was just used to be able to show the bank that I've got a lot of money. So I asked a good friend of mine to write me a a loan document that he owes me $5 million. Just the same one that Yitzi just had, except the problem is little did he know what was going to be used for. But so that would be called a shtar pasim. You have to really trust this guy. Well, tell us, Yitzi, do you or don't you? Would you go all the way? No. Ariel is going to come after you for $5 million? No way. All right. So in this case, that's a shtar pasim or a shtar amana, where somebody wants to take out a loan. He writes out that the loan was already taken out and he didn't take the loan, but he said, you keep this so that when I need the money, you'll be willing to give me the money because you've got a shtar. Boy, you've got to really trust that guy. And that's called a shtar amana. And that's what I gave you, you know? It was absolutely worthless. So, you know, I just wanted to see your reaction. What's the thing over there? Well, she is divorced anyway because lo kalamina lo isra. He cannot go and asser her after he already gave it again. Now, we saw something written on that contract, obviously, because otherwise, why is he telling us? You know what that was? I mean, you should have just said it was just a blank piece of paper. Obviously, it wasn't a blank piece of paper. We saw it wasn't a blank piece of paper. But Shmuel, that is mashma, that if it were a blank piece of paper, that then there wouldn't be any reason to believe him that was a get. Because time at a ika ktav, there's something written. But if nothing at all would be written, then that would not be a kosher get. We could have said a much bigger chiddush. We could have said that if the guy gave even a blank piece of paper and then he claimed, ha ha, it was just a blank piece of paper, we won't believe him. Because since he said there was a get on it originally, according to Shmuel, she's Megureshet. So what's the difference between a blank piece of paper or a written piece of paper? No, obviously Shmuel didn't say it's a get despite the fact that it's blank. Shmuel said that you put it through a process, you put it under ultraviolet light, and then you see if it shows up. Doesn't mean that it's considered to be ketav because he guesses. So, but kinan leba maya denara, what they would use is they would use this kind of special dye that Tosfos says is made out of pomegranates, but whatever. It was something that you could put on me'afatzim, and that would cause any afat's writing to show up in a different color, and then you would have the ketav. So, obviously, he lo polit, if nothing shows up on the surface, then forget it. And it's useless. It's just a blank piece of paper. I mean, even if he says it was a get, there was nothing visible written on it, so then by definition, it's not a get. We said there has to be a ketav. Wait a second. And if it does show up, that means that what? While it was invisible, it was a get? How was it a get? I thought you said you have to write it with dyo as something that's visible. So it'll only become a get after it actually shows up, which means you can't just use ultraviolet. It needs to actually have that new dyo on it. So then when did it become a get? Now, Hashtu the Pollock, but at the time that he gave her the get, it was a blank piece of paper. I don't care whether it had the potential of showing up. So how is that considered to be ktav if you just told me ktav has to be visible? Well, Shmuel said, chashina, you misunderstood his use of chashina. His use of chashina was literally chashina. Maybe we have to be worried because maybe at the moment that he gave it to her, the writings, which subsequently became invisible, but maybe it wasn't fully invisible at the time. Maybe it was still damp and I was able to read it. And then afterwards, when I put this on it, now I see what was written on it then, in which case it would be considered to be a ketav even at the point that it was given to her, and therefore I have to be chayish. Maybe it only looked blank, but you could have looked more closely. You would have seen it wasn't fully blank, and therefore we don't say Ashtu the poet because of this. He gave her a din of a suffix migureshet. He certainly did not say she's vadai migureshet. Omer Avina, Omer Liamemar, Hachi Omer Maremar Mishbeder Evdimi, Ani Beitredi Yovgita Kamayu, Tzricha Lemikrayu. Whenever you have two witnesses that they're present, these are Edei Mesira. They're present for the handing over the get. So, you have to actually know that it was a get and read it because you don't know what's on it. So tzricha lemikrayu, you have to make sure that it actually is a get because how can you be sure that what was given to her just because he's saying it's a get, it's true, it's a get, like we just said, but still, would she be able to rely on this to get married? So she would be a suffix megureshes. Meisve. We just said, if a guy says to a woman, here is your get, she takes the get and she throws it into the ocean, or she throws it into the oven, or whatever. Look, hold the varavad. V'chazar v'amar, then he says it wasn't really a get, it was only a shtar pasim or shtar amana. We said that she's megureshet. Now, over there, we didn't read it. We had no idea. And because he said it, we said she's megureshet. If you're going to tell me that it's not a get, until the Edom is here, actually know this is a get, and Yam Ritzricha LeMikrayu, so then how would he have been able to say, ha ha, it wasn't really a get? What do you mean? Here's the Edom, and the Edom say we read it, and it was a get, and if they didn't read it, you said that we can't rely on anyway. So the only solution is that they didn't know either. They just said, the guy gave something to a woman, he said, this is your get, and we saw him give it to her, but we don't know what it was. Well, not necessarily, because what you could say is that actually the Edom did read it, and the guy took it back for a moment, held it behind his back, you know, or put it in his pocket for a second, takes it out, and gives it to her. Now, you know, there's people that know how to do that kind of thing very well at parties, you know, so do we know that it's the same piece of paper? Maybe it was a switcheroo deal. So, Maldatema, Chalufei Chalfei. That's the point of Maremar. That you might have thought that even though we know there was a get here, and we know that he was holding a get, and he showed it to the Edom, but do we have to actually also take into consideration that maybe he switched it for something else? or not. So that's what he's coming to tell me, that once he showed us that it was a get, he can't claim that I was playing games with you and I gave her something else. Again, obviously, I mean, we're only going to rely on this video. As far as the teaching that we had before, that a person who's a get for the Mesira should know what's being given, of course he would necessarily want to read it again, and that would be the correct way to be the Eda Mesira. We're just saying, what would be the din if he didn't? Now, who Gavra? There was a guy who threw his wife a get, and they're there in a wine basement, you know, and there's all Beni Dani, a bunch of barrels of wine, and he throws her the get. She's there in the wine, and then she goes to find this get that had fallen between, and she finds a mezuzah. She doesn't find a get. Omer of Nachman. Well, I mean, what do you think? There was a mezuzah in the wine cellar before? I ain't ever found a mezuzah when I went down to get my wine. I mean, this is very suspicious. I'm assuming that that's what he threw her, and that this was just an attempt to scare her. Looks like a very official document. It lands between the barrels, and so she thinks he threw her a get. He just wants to drive her crazy. I'm going to take for granted that the mezuzah that was found was what it was that he sent. But that's only if I only find one mezuzah. If I find more than one mezuzah. So then obviously this particular wine cellar is a wine mezuzah cellar. So I don't know. If there was one, then there might have been another one, you know. So maybe what he said sent really was a get. And these are just the mezuzahs that are in your wine mezuzah cellar. Now, if you ask me, so what happened to the get? You know, he's a rat. The rat took his get and ran off with it. What do you want? The Gita, Imarach Barim Shaklua. You know, who knows? Could have been carried away by some animal. Who gavra d'alavei k'nishta? A guy goes into shul. He takes a Sefer Torah, you hear, out of the Aron Kodesh. He gives it to his wife. And he says, here, hold this. This is your get. Amr of Yosef, that's ridiculous. Lamai Nechushla. What possibility could there be that this would be even a Reach HaGet? We're talking about, if you remember, Gavi, dear, Reach HaGet. I'm sure you've written it down before. Reach HaGet is what's called a psul for marrying a Kohen, someone who got sort of a get, even though it was a get that was possible. This is nothing. This is, says Rabbi Yosef, my chashinan means for anything. Should be even chashish for reach get? No. Because what are we worried about? Are you worried that maybe the husband had taken out the Sefer Torah, written a get in Meimilin on the side of the Sefer Torah? No, you don't have to worry about that because the Sefer Torah were all processed with the Afatzim. And we said Meimilin Agabe Meimilin is not considered to be writing at all. So Memela, you don't have to worry about it. Now, you might say, okay, but it says V'katav La Sefer Kritut, so maybe we should be worried about that itself. So maybe that would be that somebody would taina that V'katav La Sefer Kritut is the equivalent of actually Harayat Muteret. I mean, maybe, I don't know. But the problem is, it certainly wasn't written Lishma, and that's the very pasuk that tells us it does have to be written Lishma. V'katav La Sefer Kritut. So what difference would it mean if he gives her a universal description of a get? It's a joke. Forget about it. And V'leket isn't Lishma. Now, I understand what you're going to say. You're going to say that maybe this guy paid the Sefer when he wrote the Sefer Torah to have in mind his wife when it says, should be a segula. He should have in mind my wife when you write the words V'katav La Sefer Kritut. So Dilma Akhtam Yavle Zuzo Asafra Meikar maybe paid the Sefer to have that in mind. But, I mean, Abba'inan Shmo V'shma Shemiro V'shemira. I mean, this is not going to be a get. Come on. I mean, this is not, even though you mentioned the word Kritut, I mean, the most it is segula. So, but Lekka, there's no get here at all. So even if it was written Lishma, it wouldn't be a get. I mean, it's sort of obvious, no? So Rabbi Yosef, Maikom Ashbalan. I mean, he's gone through every possible nonsense. It's all nonsense. I mean, there's no way that you could have come out with this. But the main point that Rabbi Yosef wanted to get across is the first point. And that is, even though you have no idea about whether he wrote something on the margins of the Sefer Torah, that it's not considered to be a get, because ein me milin, agabe me milim. Okay, Rabbosai, another wonderful, exciting day. We've moved on to the actual ksiva. What is considered to be ksav? Is there such a thing as a subsequently appearing ksav? What would be the din of relying on a husband in terms of his commitment that this is a get, and then we don't find the get? Can we rely on the fact that something was written? And all types of other side issues as well. Happy days are here again. We hope tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem, to continue this wonderful sugya. Meanwhile, I'm wishing you a special day of Yeshua's, Refuah's, Nechama's, and Hashia Samecha, Voreches Nachalasecha, Re'em V'Nasim, Ado Olam. You know that every day that goes by where that doesn't happen is a dramatic surprise, not a happy surprise, and certainly not what we expect. Okay, so we'll see you for happier days, Bezrat Hashem, tomorrow. Thank you so much. Kol Tov.